Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition, this final hour on this Friday edition of the Hagman Report. Joe Hagman here, your co-host, flying solo tonight. Not even Tech Eric is here. It is just me alone in the studio, and it's been a great show so far. John Robertson joined me in the first hour, and we had a great discussion on news and a number of other issues. And we just got done with Dave Workman from thegunmag.com, and that was a very interesting interview. Now we have another debut guest, and I'm excited about this interview. This is Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson. He's the author of a book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. And folks, you can go to jesseleepeterson.com and also rebuildingtheman.com. And Mr. Peterson is the most courageous, outspoken critic of the modern-day civil rights establishment in America today. Raised without his father on a plantation near Tuskegee, Alabama during the Jim Crow era, Peterson has lived a part of America's history few have experienced. After a spiritual transformation, Peterson found Bond, a nationally recognized nonprofit organization dedicated to the rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. For the past 27 years, Bond has been helping men and families with counseling services, mentoring, and many other things. We're going to bring Mr. Peterson on. Reverend Peterson, welcome to the Hagman Report.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate you having me on, and you can call me Jesse.
Okay. Well, Jesse, it's great to meet you. I know we didn't
get
a chance
to
talk before the show. We didn't get a chance to talk before the show, but apparently several of our listeners are already acquainted and have a great idea of who you are, and so that's always good to see. You're the author of a book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. Where do you want to start tonight?
Well, first, I want to say to the folks that they can get The Antidote on Amazon.com as well, or in a bookstore. But what I want to start is by saying that in this book, I've written several books, and The Antidote is one that I've wanted to write for a long time. And my publisher finally said, okay, you can write whatever you like to write, no restriction. And so I wanted to write about what's really wrong in our country, especially with Black Americans. And so in writing The Antidote, I have proven that racism does not exist. It has never existed, and that we've been told a lie in order to use us in order to gain power and wealth. The race hustlers like Jesse Jackson, Louis Farrakhan, you know, Al Sharpton, most of the Black preachers, Barack Obama, and the liberal white social justice warriors, they have made that word up because it put fear in white people, and it also it brainwashes, it put Blacks in a hypnotic trance, and with the fear of white folks, they can intimidate them and get what they want. Black Americans, not all, but most are suffering not because of that lie of racism, but due to the destruction of the family and the lack of moral character. Most Black people are immoral.
You know, you make some great points, and one is, let's start with the social justice movement. This is one of the more incredible things that I've been able to witness, I guess. It's been around for a while, but we've seen, with the election of Donald Trump, this just explosion where even the establishment and the media are piggybacking off of this and, you know, playing into this. And what you said about, you know, that there's never, that it's not racism. What would you call it? Hate?
It's hate. It's either, okay. You either have love or you have hate. I have a battle according to the scriptures and what God has allowed me to see by causing me to overcome my anger. He has allowed me to see that our battle is a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities, evil and wickedness in high places. He doesn't say we wrestle against color. He doesn't say we wrestle against male and female. And Christians, if they're truly born of God, should know this, but they have allowed themselves to be lied to by the children of the lie. And that is the Democratic Party, the liberal media, the race hustling Black people, and the right or Republicans. And it's time that we wake up from this and start telling the truth, because if we don't destroy that lie, it will destroy us and this country. Look what happened under Barack Obama. White Americans thought that if they gave black people a black president, then black Americans would know that they're not against them. And so they gave this man to them twice. They re-elected him. And instead of things getting better, they got worse. Under Barack Obama, the races are more divided than any other time in history, because Barack Obama is not an honest man. He's one of the children of the lies. And so we got to start telling the truth in order to overcome the lie.
You're exactly right. And one thing that is absent in this culture is common sense and truth. People have seemed to gravitate toward deception, towards the negative emotions such as hate and what we're talking about. And we've seen, as titled in your book, this victimhood mentality. Let's go into a little bit first. The African-American community has been a political pawn for both parties, but mainly the Democrats as of late. I guess it's like most Americans. I was going to ask, how come they don't realize that they're just used, you know, to gather votes during election cycles? Then, you know, the promises that are made to them are never come to fruition. But I guess that applies to all of America when it comes to politics.
Because most black Americans, not all, but most have been catered to. They have been given free stuff like welfare, free housing, free food, free programs, affirmative action. And they've been trying to get what they call reparations from the government, the Democrat aspect of the government. And they have given these folks this free stuff for the last 50 years or so, generation after generation. And they have been telling them, we love you. The Republicans don't. The Republicans want to put you back in slavery. And when you give someone something free for so long, you spoil them. You also cause them to be subject to you. And so they have done that in order to get the votes from black Americans. Never mind that the politicians are corrupt, immoral, they're liars. They hate what's good. They hate the family. They hate God. They hate country. But because blacks have been given free stuff, they don't care about any of that. And also, most black people are angry. And they're angry at their mothers, because their mothers have been impatient with them. Their mothers have turned them away from their fathers. And the worst thing that can happen to a child, male or female, and never mind the color, is to be turned away from the father. Because when you turn children away from the father, you turn them away from God. And so, because there's an order to life, and that order is God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman and woman over children. The father, the man, is the Christ of his family. And when you take him away, then evil come in and take over the women and children. And instead of someone telling black people that they need to forgive their mothers for turning them away from their fathers and then turn back to their fathers, they're telling them that it's this phony idea of racism, that it's the white man. And when you're angry, Joe, it's hard to believe the truth. You can only believe a lie, and they know that, and that's why they keep the blacks angry.
Jesse, let me ask you about the churches in African American communities. I know, you know, just from the churches overall, that, and we talk about this a lot on the show, that they've seemed to have conformed to the world rather than sticking to the foundations of Scripture and what the Lord taught us. They are, you know, accepting homosexual marriage in churches. They are changing their doctrine to, you know, fit different political agendas and social agendas. Is this the same way in African-American church communities? Is the church in the same downward spiral all across
the country? In the black community, you have a better chance of finding God or returning to God by staying home than you do in the average black church. Even some of the major ones that you know, like T.D. Jakes and others, you have a better chance of finding God by staying home. Those men can care less about salvation. They care less about what is right. T.D. Jakes was asked about so-called homosexual marriage, And he said that, well, he's rethinking that now. He was against it at one time, but now he's rethinking it. Most black preachers hate white people. They blame white people for the lack of values and the lack of structure in the black community. And they're doing it, too, for personal gain. Because, as you said, and as I write in the book, they feel like victims. And all angry people feel like a victim, and they blame other people for that feeling. And so, yes, the black churches have lost their way a long time ago. And it's just so unfortunate because now all they do is make black people feel good about being wrong. You know, they go, they sing, they dance, they read the Bible, they give up money, but they don't deal with sin. They don't tell black people that they need to repent and turn away from evil. Stop supporting people who they know is supporting everything that's wrong. So absolutely, they have failed. They have become just like the world. The world is now, secular society is now running the churches.
Yeah, and we've been warned about this time in Scripture.
Yeah.
You know, that in the end times, I think this is in Thessalonians, that perilous times will come, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, and it goes on to talk about, you know, really a laundry list of behaviors that we will see from not only the church congregants, but the leaders in the world in general. And many believe we are at this point. But one of the things that I like about what you do is that you offer a solution to a lot of to these problems. You, with your own insight, and you said your own a spiritual awakening. If we can, you said you in here you had a spiritual transformation. Can you get into that a little bit?
Long story short, I grew up down in Alabama on a plantation. My father got my mother pregnant when they were dating. They were like 18, 19. And when my mother told my father that she was pregnant, he denied it. He was a teenager, so he denied it. And my mother became very angry at him and didn't want anything to do with him from that point forward. And so what happened was she married my stepfather before I was born, because in those days, it was an embarrassment to have children out of wedlock. Black people just didn't go around having babies out of wedlock because it was an embarrassment, and she didn't want me to be born out of wedlock, so she got married. But she didn't give up the anger toward my father. As a kid, I had a yearning deep down in my soul for my father. No stepfather or no one else could fulfill that. And as a kid, I knew I wanted my father, so I would ask my grandmother about him, and she told me who he was, and she would secretly allow him to come see me. And I have to tell you, Joe, every time I saw my father, I felt completed, but when he would leave, that boy came back. And then I would ask my mother about him, and she would say, no good, you know, forget him. And I thought she was mean as a kid for doing that, so I started to resent her. But at the time, I didn't know this. And so I grew up, even though I had a good upbringing by my grandparents and things like that, but I still had that deep down in my soul, a yearning for my father, an emptiness. And so I moved to California, and I was very insecure. I had a lot of doubt, fear, and worry, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm making a long story short here, but I finally asked God, because I would ask the black preachers, you know, like, I read the Bible, I go to church, I give money, I do everything you guys suggest, but it's not helping me. What's wrong? And they would tell me that it wasn't me. It was racism. It was old white man trying to hold me back. And for the first time, I started to resent white people because I believed a lie that was coming from the preachers and Jesse Jackson and Louis Farrakhan and others. My life went to hell in a handbasket because what you put out come back on you. But I finally asked God to let me see what was wrong. Let me see myself. Because the beginning of wisdom is to know yourself. You know, you have to know what's wrong in order that you might repent. So he allowed me to see that I resented my mother for turning me away from my father. And that resentment was keeping me away from him, from God. And it was hurting, you know, destroying me within. And when I saw that, man, I had a sadness that came up on me. It is not like a human sadness. It was like a deep sorrow for resenting my mother. And so I realized I needed to forgive her because God said that when we go and apologize to others for being angry at them, which is unforgiveness, that He, God, will forgive us. We're not supposed to ask people to forgive us. We're supposed to forgive them, and God will forgive us. Because if you ask someone to forgive you, most of the time they won't, because they like that control they have over you. But when I went to my mother, I apologized to her for resenting her. I told her why, and I apologized for resenting her for turning me away from my father and for seemingly to be impatient. And when I forgave her, God forgave me, and He gave me perfect peace. Then I went and talked to my father. He explained what happened. And I have to tell you, Joe, I returned to my earthly father. He and I became one, and that void I had disappeared. It was gone, and that allowed me to return to God. Because you're not going to get to God unless you forgive your earthly father, because He represents Christ on earth. He is, you know, the Christ on the earth. He may be a poor example, but it's still real. So when I forgave my earthly father and returned to Him, I was fulfilled. And it allowed me to return to God. And now I see God as my Father. I don't see Him as God. Somebody that's way out yonder somewhere that, you know, I'm never going to reach. He is my Father. He dwells within me. And He loved me. And He is guiding me. And so that's why I urge all men and women, boys and girls, to forgive their mothers and then return to their fathers, and then they shall have peace and be made whole and start living. That's what salvation is about, a return to the Father. I don't know if you remember, Joe, but in the scriptures it says that there will come a day when I'll return the children back to the fathers and the fathers to the children. And that is adult children and young children. He said, unless I have to come and smite the earth or something like that, or smite thee. So that time is at hand right now. We got to return the children, young and old, boys and girls, men and women, back to their fathers.
No, you're exactly right. And regardless of if it's in the African American community or any community, we see this this society that's become so morally bankrupt, and it's almost this evil in this culture is encouraged, and people are becoming less responsible, and children are it's really damaging to children. And what you said about unforgiveness is so important, and this applies to just about every area of life. Because, and I was talking about this on our daily show today, when even the worst of the worst people on this earth, who we see on a daily basis, you know, whether they're promoting these evil ideas or committing these evil acts, we still, as much as we might despise what they do, the responsibility to forgive them is on us. Because just as you said, and as it says in the scripture, any unforgiveness we show towards other people, the Lord is going to judge us by that and forgive us based on our unforgiveness. And as hard as it might be to try to forgive someone, you know, who is, you know, just some of the worst people on earth doing the worst things, it is our spiritual duty, and we need to make peace and learn how to do that. And if we can't do it, we need to, as you said, we need to ask God to show us how to have that forgiveness in our heart so it's sincere. But another thing you said is that you asked the Lord to show you what was hindering your spiritual growth.
Yes.
And He did that for you. And more often than, I mean, if people are sincere when they ask and they have, you know, for the right reasons, the Lord will reveal things to them as long as they're dedicated and they're sincere. And, you know, it's a hard thing to do, to go back and to deal with these, you know, the root causes of what's going on. It's like people who have certain diseases.
And I do want to make the quick point that forgiveness doesn't mean that you're weak. You speak up, but don't hate. As a matter of fact, you can fight evil with good better than you can fight evil with evil, which is anger. So it's not going to be that you're going to give in to the darkness of the world. You're going to be able to deal with it with the light of God within you.
And it's much easier to hate than it is to love. And that, I mean, and we're commanded, you know, even if you're angry at a fellow human being, that is the same as murder in the eyes of the Lord. Just as if you look at another woman, you know, in a lustful way, it is the same as adultery. And we need to understand that not only are words, but our thoughts have consequences, not only in the physical world, but in the spiritual world as well. And from your experience, Jesse, you said that until your eyes were opened to inner feelings that you dealt with, that your spiritual growth was basically hindered, and that was the breakthrough that you had, which is it's absolutely amazing, and thank God that happened in your life. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
Thank you. You know what was so interesting? I didn't know. I had read in the Bible, or maybe even heard about it, but I didn't know you can actually see. But because when God took away the spirit of anger, and He allowed me to see from within, and that's been so amazing to me. You know, the blind man in the gate said that I once was blind, but now I see. And the people want to know, well, what happened? How are you able to see? He said, I don't know, but that man made me see. And that's what He's done. But you are not going to be able to see until you can overcome the spirit of unforgiveness, that anger. The anger is of your father, the devil. Every man, woman, and child who has anger, Satan is their father. And no man is no person is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven within until he forgive. Before you forgive, before you enter into the kingdom, you must forgive. And the hardest thing about forgiveness is that the average person don't want to see that they are wrong. They want to blame someone else for being wrong, and so they don't want to see that they're wrong, because forgiveness is not something that you can make happen. Of ourselves, we can do nothing. It's a spiritual thing, right? And so, but when you can see that you're wrong, yes, there are people who violate our lives, our parents let us down, but we're wrong for hating them. We're wrong for being angry or resenting them. And if we can just see that we are wrong, then God will cause us to repent. Because even repentance is something, is a spiritual thing, and only God can make that happen once we really see that we are wrong for holding this anger toward our parents or anyone.
Yeah, very well said. And there's a saying that you just brought to mind that I'm trying to remember the full saying, that anger usually is just a cover emotion, that when somebody's angry, there's other emotions that are going on that is being masked by the anger, whether it's being hurt, being sad, the anger is just basically a defense mechanism in some cases, so people don't deal with their real feelings. And being able to self-examine is so important, and it has a lot to do with what you're talking about. Many people even refuse to do that much, to even look at themselves, and as you said, to admit they're wrong, to admit they have problems of their own. And it is it's unfortunate to see. And the culture of victimhood that you talk about and that you write about in your books, let's talk about this a little bit. This victimhood mentality, and we see it with these social justice warriors with and it makes no sense to me. And I'm 34 years old. I was raised by a good family, raised in the church, and it doesn't compute with me. And maybe it's just the way I was raised, a generational thing. And I've been arrested, I've had lots of troubles in my life that I brought on by myself, but more often than not, I always learn the hard way. What is it that people believe they are going to accomplish by labeling themselves as some kind of oppressed or victim class of a person?
They feel that they're gonna by feeling that way and claiming that they're gonna get what they want by accusing others, that they're gonna put guilt, like black folks have done toward white people for the last 50 years or so. They have made white people feel guilty for their problems. And in feeling guilty, white people give them whatever they want, whether it's affirmative action, whether it's a job, whatever, because white people feel a false sense of responsibility for black people when they really have nothing to do with the destruction of black Americans. Slavery has nothing to do with it. It's the failure of the father and mother. And I write about that in the book, Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown. Michael Brown up in Ferguson, Missouri, his father and mother failed him. They were no good. They were not together. Whenever Michael Brown's father would go to try to pick him up, the mother gave him such a hard, difficult time to try to prevent him from getting his son that he had to finally send someone else over there to get Michael. Michael finally went to live with his father, but his father's life was out of control. And then they sent him to his grandmother, and then by the time he got there, she couldn't do anything with him. So Michael Brown had felt a lack of love from his parents. He had no direction, so he became a thug. Same thing with Trayvon Martin. I don't know if you remember, Barack Obama said if he had a son, he would look like Trayvon, encouraging that hatred. And so Michael Brown went out in the street, and Trayvon Martin did, and they both became thugs. And they are both dead today because of the lack of good parents and the lack of love and becoming a thug. And instead of T.D. Jakes and Jesse Jackson and most of the black preachers telling black people you need to get married and be a good example for your children, they blamed it on racism, this false illusion idea of racism. They blamed the white cop. And they did that to keep black people feeling like victims, keep them angry at white people and white cops. And the reason they do that, Joe, is because in my book I write about Barack Obama and Louis Farrakhan and others, and they grew up without fathers, and they had angry mothers. Louis Farrakhan's mother told him that she wanted to abort him with a clothes hanger. Barack Obama's mother was a white woman, but she taught him that white people were racist and that hated black people, and so did his father. His father didn't live with him, but he taught him the same thing about America and Africa. And so Barack Obama can identify with Trayvon Martin and Jesse Jackson and the Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter organization is an evil, agitated, hateful organization that is organized by black lesbians and homosexuals and white social justice warriors. And they're an evil organization. Barack Obama can identify them with them. That's why he invited them to the White House more than once, the heads of the organization, because he has the same missing of love and hatred in his heart as they do. And so, once again, it's all about the family. Even though Barack Obama was the president of the greatest country on this side of heaven, it still could not fulfill that void and that yearning of a father. And that's what's really going on.
You know, you mentioned Black Lives Matter, and maybe it's just the time I grew up that, you know, when it comes to racism and stuff, it's not something I've ever experienced or witnessed. You know, I grew up, I have lots of friends from many different backgrounds, and it was just never something we had to deal with. And, you know, when you talk about how even children in African American communities are raised by either their mother or their father, depending on the family dynamic, and we see that the family dynamic is broken in African American communities at a disproportionate level. Why is it the generation after generation continuing to promote the hate and anger onto their onto their kids, which is why? Because I don't understand, you know, why this is able to continue to happen. When it seemed, you know, the country got past slavery and the civil rights movement, you know, the right to vote and equal treatment, but we seem to be retreating back with, you know, the social justice movement and others, where it seems that, you know, we see people calling for segregation and safe spaces, going back to exactly what their ancestors and everything fought against. And it's kind of, to me, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, and it's hard to understand the mentality.
Black Lives Matter is worse than the KKK, the NAACP and others. But yes, because most, not all, but most black people don't have love. They only have hatred in their hearts. And they are passing that hatred down to their children. And those children are being told over and over again, generation after generation, that it's the white man. And so instead of things getting better, they're only getting worse with black people and with the racists. And it's never going to change until we repudiate the black community and insist that they return to God. It has never been as bad as it is with the black race. When I was growing up down in Alabama, black people, for the most part, did not have this type of hatred in their hearts. We were taught that there were good and bad in all cultures of people, and that we should treat people the way that we would like to be treated. But this started with, this hatred started with the civil rights movement. Even though Martin Luther King at one time was saying, love your neighbor, you know, treat people right, overcome evil with love, with good, that changed once Jesse Jackson and others took over. And I write in my book how Martin Luther King and Jesse Jackson did not get along. Jesse Jackson threw him out of the movement several times because Jackson has always had a hidden agenda, and that was for his own personal gain and not for the people. But they turned what was supposed to be overcoming evil with good into hatred, and that's when, and then, you know, they helped separate the family under Lyndon B. Johnson with the welfare program. Mm-hmm. Because when you remove the father, you remove Christ. And so that's when it started going downhill. And now, Joe, it's so bad that blacks are going around killing, robbing, raping, and just hurting white people. This young generation hate white people with a passion. And they have heard over and over again, go into the suburbs. And Barack Obama has implanted a lot of these angry blacks in the urban area, I mean, in the suburbs, white communities. He has let prisoners out of jail. We don't know where they are. And these people blame their anger on the white man. And it is, people in this country have no idea the attacks upon white people by black people, young men and women. It is horrible. But because it's happening to white people, you don't hear about it. If white people were doing nearly what black people are doing to white, it'd be all over the media. Everybody would know about it. But because it's blacks doing it to whites, you don't hear about it. But black people white people's lives are at risk from black people because the hatred is out of control now because they're only been receiving hatred. They have not been receiving love. Most black people are not connected to God. You can't be connected to God and have anger in your heart. It's impossible.
Well, that's very well said. And as I said, I grew up, I have a lot of black friends, and I've never met a person, at least, who would say it to my face, you know, what you described as this just inherent racism of blacks against white people, or this hatred.
And yeah, it's not racism, it's hatred.
Maybe it's a, you know, obviously in the bigger cities, it's more of an issue, than in the suburbs and whatnot. And I know your book deals with this. How are we as a society, regardless of color and class distinctions, how are we supposed to heal these wounds, moving forward?
One way and one way only. We gotta, well, maybe more than one way only, but we gotta tell the truth. Without anger. And the truth without anger is perfect love, which is the nature of God. And that love will set those free who want to be free. Some of them you're never going to reach because they're so rooted and grounded in hatred. You're not going to be able to help, but there are a few who are seeking the kingdom of God. And it's those you'll be able to help. But we got to start telling the truth. We got to start restoring the order of the family. Because if you don't bring back that order of family, if men don't return to God, love him with all their heart, soul, and might, along with nothing else, and start standing up for righteousness' sake, it's only going to get worse. If you notice, the attack is upon men, and it's upon all men, black men, white men, Hispanics, Japanese, Chinese, and the reason evil is trying to destroy the man is because of who he represents. The man represents God. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ. And evil understands that, working through the children of evil. It knows that if it can accuse the men of being rapists, accuse them of being homosexuals, accuse them of molesting their children, accuse them of being so-called racist or hate women, it's going to turn the women and children away from them, and then they can usher in this evil. And that's what we see happening. If you look around, you will see that the attack is upon the white man now because they've already destroyed the average black man. And now they're going after the white man, calling him a racist, calling him misogynist, calling him this and that, because they want to do to the white family what they have done to the black family. They want to give the white family government programs. They want them to have children out of wedlock. They want them to accept homosexuality, so-called transgender and no gender and all that crazy stuff, because they need to remove the father in order to do that. And if white men don't wake up soon, they're going to find themselves and their families in the same condition that black people are in right now.
Yeah, you know, and what you just said brought to mind to me, you know, what I learned about the movement of the women's rights movement.
Yeah.
You know, the intentions of Rockefeller, you know, trying to tax the other half of the population and remove mothers, you know, from the home, from their role as mothers by putting them to work and these different policies that they created. It wasn't just for they didn't do it for the sake of the people, for the liberation and well-being and rights of women. They did it for other nefarious purposes.
To destroy the family so they can bring in evil.
Yeah, and this is, you know, destroying the family is one of the planks of communism and just about every, you know, evil system of control. And it's startling to see, you know, how far we've regressed to where we are now. And I often wonder, you know, with this social justice movement and on the left and that we see this political correct stuff, are these people, is there any hope that they will, you know, they can, would it take life experience? Obviously, it's not going to be somebody telling them that their ideas are wrong. Do you believe that these people can have their mentalities changed with the right conditions?
If they don't hear the truth, unless they suffer, sometimes your pain, your suffering can cause you to cry out to God, and then you can know the truth. But unless they hear the truth, they're not, because they're being taught in the public school system, you know, first grade or kindergarten all the way through college to university now, about how bad the family is, how bad men are, that they need the government. It's okay to have children out of wedlock and everything that's wrong. So they've been brainwashed from the moment they pop out of their mother's womb. And so, but unless they hear the truth, a lot of them would never change. And if men don't change, if they don't return back to their natural state of being, it's not going to get better, because the authority, the love, the nature of God is in the man, is not in the woman. And unless he changed and returned to God, it's not going to get better. Whenever men are weak, their families fall apart, their neighborhoods fall apart, their schools fall apart, and their country fall apart. Look at how they're going after President Trump right now. And the goodness of President Trump, the fact that he loved the country, he put America first, he wanted to restore order, bring back jobs. He is exposing all the hatred that's in the liberal media, in the Democratic Party, the right-o Republicans, and the never Trumpers. We knew that the government had issues, but we didn't know how bad it was until right now. They never intended to overturn Obamacare. They never intended to put a wall around the borders. They never intended to cut back on taxes and restrictions and regulations. They never intend to protect us from the radical terrorist Muslims. They never intend to stop bringing refugees in our country so they can kill us. They never intended to do anything, and they're doing all they can do to stop President Trump from doing it. And so we didn't know how much anger and hatred and lack of country was in our government until now. So any man that stands up, for goodness sake, they're going to go after you, but you don't have to worry if you have truly returned to God and love him. He will protect you, he will guide you, and he will make it happen through you. And that's why we got to get men to return back to God and love him more than they do themselves, more than they do their wives and their children and their country. They got to love God, and then they can love their wives and their children and their country in the right way. But unless men return, it's only going to get worse. Christ may have to come back and restore order, because the power, the authority is in the man.
Yeah, I mean, we all play our roles, both in the natural and in the spiritual.
Yes,
and
sir.
As Scripture points out, men and women have obviously have much different roles, but you know they work together for that unison, that what we call a family. When a man and a woman get married and have children, it's the dynamic. And one thing we see in this country, which is so disheartening, is that the Satan and the enemy are attacking every foundation that God established, whether
of
it
course.
Is the genders. You know, God created man and woman. Now there's more genders. Now in marriage, you know, they're trying to let people. Pretty soon they're going to be able to marry animals, and they're attack. Everything that God established for good and righteousness is under attack, which is why I'm going to ask you this next question. Do you believe that we are in the close to the end times? We are living in the beginning of the end times. What do you think prophetically? Where do we stand?
I think that I don't know if we're at the end times, you know, because I've been hearing this all of my life.
Yeah.
I just think that we are devastation will come upon the earth if men don't turn back to God so that God can work through them to defeat evil. I think that as generations come, things would get worse for each generation. It would become hell on earth. But I don't know if it's like the end time. I just think, because I look at what has happened to black people. When I was growing up, because men were strong and they loved what was right, you didn't have this type of devastation in the black communities around the country, because men protected their families and their communities from evil. You mentioned how the women's movement encouraged women to go out and work. But if men were strong, they would not have allowed their women to go out and work. And the women would not have wanted to go. But the men were not strong enough to protect them from the evil that was coming from the women's movement. And so it's our job to do that, as Christ has made a way for us. And so I don't know about the end times, but I do know if men don't wake up, we have some difficult days ahead of us.
No, very, very well said. Folks, excuse me. Our guest is Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson. His website, there's two websites, rebuildingtheman.com and jesseleepeterson.com. In his book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood, and you can get that from the WorldNet Daily Superstore, or you can get it right from Amazon. I got the Amazon page up right here. And Jesse, I have not read your book, but I am very interested in reading it. And I'm not sure if it's on our way to the studio from WorldNet Daily or not, but either way, I'm gonna order it and check it out. Because this is when we talk about, and this is more than just a race issue or a black and white issue and the division we see there, because as you have so well stated, this is evil. This is good versus evil, and evil it seems to be winning in this society. And I think our institutions of government, and even many in civil society are working, whether knowingly or unknowingly, with this evil and pushing it forward. And one thing I always say that the Scripture says is, you know, the subtlety of Satan is something that we never really see coming. And I use the example of in the 1960s, you couldn't put a TV show that's on TV today on TV back in the 60s or 70s. The people would be morally outraged. They wouldn't have it. But incrementally, you know, through subtle changes, they were able to progress to the point where, you know, you have the profanity and nudity and the blood and gore and everything on TV. And this is how Satan works in all aspects of our lives. If it's not something that can be done instantly, he will subtly, you know, chip away at the standards and the morals. And as you said, Jesse, when men and when the people are weak, when they are not, you know, standing firm in their faith and don't know their Scripture, they are primed to be manipulated and to allow these things in. And the one thing I just keep going back to is, you know, what can we do? Us as Christians, we can pray. We can set up, you know, different community things, community engagements, Bible studies. But there's only so much we can do as Christians and as, you know, people in our own societies. there has to be an effort from everybody involved if we want to see, you know, some kind of universal change. And with the, it's so hard, especially that the media is, you know, promoting this agenda of hate and all this, you know, moral bankruptcy. What do you think, in your experience and in your lifetime, how much has the media changed, or has it really always been this way? It's just been more covert.
It's been more covert. It has always been this way, but because we didn't have a man like Donald Trump in the White House, we were not able to see the depths of how evil the liberal media is. But it's been there. It's always been there. And it's been setting us up and setting us up for the downfall. And that's why you see it out now is really, it's going nuts. It's going crazy. Because it can't handle the goodness in the president. But we've been deceived by the media for a long time now. And thank God that it is being exposed. And I just want people to really don't listen to all the talk, what they're hearing from the left, but really pay attention to what's going on. God is allowing us to see what's going on in the media and in our government, so we the people can take back our government. There are Christians who don't even believe that you should be involved in government. How in the world are you not going to be involved in the government? And the government make laws mm-hmm. that affect you and your family and your life. We need to vote in men and women who love what's right. We need to, and they need to know they work for us, we the people. We need to start repudiating, rebuking those who are of their father, the devil. And if they don't like it, that's on them. As long as we don't hate them, we show them love by repudiating them. We need to start taking back our families and raising our children. And in doing all that, we would know that God is with us, because it's not we who are doing it, but it's the Father who dwells in us. He does the work through us. And so we need to return to Him and let Him take over again, and then all things are possible. And so I have to tell you, man, I'm having a hoop nanny of a time dealing with evil, because it's not me, it's the Father that's in me, and I know of myself I can do nothing. I've been called Uncle Tom, sellout, the so-called N-word, every vulgar nasty name you could be called, and this is by mostly black people. I've been hardly a day goes by when I don't get some type of threat. My family's been threatened, but I'm not afraid like that. I watch my back. I'm concerned, but I have no fear, because I know that God is with me. And they don't know what to do with me, because I don't fear them. I don't fear losing something. Material things are not first in my life. Loving what's right is first in my life. And so that's what the children of God should be like. You can't have fear and love what's right. It just doesn't go that way. You know, I got I get a lot of emails and texts and things from people around the world. We counsel with people around the world. And the spirit is the same. It's the destruction of the family and the anger that starts in the homes that set people up to have fear and doubt and worry and insecurity, depression, suicidal thoughts, post-traumatic stress disorder. It all comes from anger, because that's the nature of Satan. But I got one text that I want to share with you and your audience, and it came in this evening. It says, Jesse, I just finished reading your book, The Antidote. Incredible, powerful, educational, and motivational. You're changing my life, man. Thanks for writing this book. I wish I could have been introduced to your work sooner. Thank you, Vaughn. And I write the truth in the book. And the truth is, we got to restore the family if we're going to have children. It's got to bring back that order of God. God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, and woman over children. Men got to realize who they are and who they represent and return to that.
You're absolutely right. And you know, I want to ask you this question. I don't know that even that you might know the answer to this, but it seems like in children without fathers, that the statistics are that they're more likely to not be there for their children also.
No, they won't.
Well, see, to me, I would think that the opposite would be true, that somebody who went through that as a child would never want their child to go through that, so they would do everything in their power to make sure that it was different for their kid. But that doesn't seem to be the case. Is there any indication as to why? Is that just a self-esteem?
Because if you, when you are not raised by your father, or even if the father's in the home, you disconnect, the branch has fallen away from the tree of life. When you fall away from your father, you fall away from the tree of life, and you're just dying. You're not living. You have fear. You have doubt. You're very emotional. You're looking for love and in all the wrong places, and you get the wrong kind of love. You don't see how to stay with your kids, stay with your wife. Your battle is with you, and your, if you should get married, your battle is with you and your wife. Your wife hates you because you're weak. She hates you because she hated her father. Her mother turned away. And it's just a battle. Or even if men, unfortunately, you get women pregnant out of wedlock. And they try to be with the kids. The women prevent it. Because you, when you hate your mother or hate anyone, you become like what you hate. And you become subject to what you hate. So men hate their mothers and grandmothers, and they're attracted to what they hate. So they end up marrying, dating, or having sex with women who are just like mama. And because they were not able to deal with their mothers, they can't deal with the mother of their children, so they bail out. Or they become very wimpy, weak men. They cave. And a man who caves into his wife is not a real man.
Very interesting, folks. Our guest is Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson. Jesse, we only have just a few minutes left. I'm looking at your website here, jesseleepeterson.com. What can folks do aside from buying the book to help you?
Well, we appreciate that. We are a nonprofit, and we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. No money from the government. We've been around 27 years now. They can definitely donate to us. It's because of the people helping us that we are able to help others. We counsel, we tutor, we help find jobs. And then we started a bond entrepreneur program where we are teaching young men from 15 and up how to start a business. And we brought in men. I brought in men who are businessmen. Some have retired, but they're successful businessmen. And we're teaching them every aspect of business. I started a credit union, a bond credit union. And we loan these guys the money, and then they pay back with little interest because that's what's happening in the real world. And a lot of them don't have credit or they don't know how to make it work. And so but the most important thing, we're showing them how to forgive so they can treat people the way they would like to be treated. They won't abandon their families and things like that. So they could donate by going to rebuildingtheman.com. rebuildingtheman.com, or call 800-411-2663, 800-411-BOND. And we work with all men, even though our focus is on the black man because he's so demoralized now and weak. We're trying to, you know, help him, show him how to overcome that anger so he can return to God. But we work with all men. And we do counseling, so if there are men and women out there who need counseling, they can call us. We do it by phone or by Skype, or if you're in an LA area, you can, you know, go into the office there. And so they can donate to us. We definitely need prayers and volunteers. They live in the LA area, and they have a talent or something they would like to volunteer and help us with. We welcome that as well.
Okay, and which website would be best for people to contact you? Rebuildingtheman.com or
yes.
The... Okay.
Yeah, rebuildingtheman.com.
And folks, there are, if you're on rebuildingtheman.com on the upper right hand side, there is the contact section where you can go and get the contact info for Jesse and reach out to his organization, as well as jesseleepeterson.com. And folks, don't forget the book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. That's available on Amazon Kindle as well. And if you want to get it through WorldNet Daily, go to thehagmanreport.com, hagmanreport.com. And on the top banner there is the WorldNet Daily Superstore. Use promo code Hagman, and you can get it that way. Mr. Peterson, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We are out of time, and I hope we can get you back at some point.
You can, Joe. I truly, truly enjoyed that conversation with you. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you for coming on and sharing all the information that you have, and it's definitely going to be an uphill battle, but we'll continue to pray for you, and hopefully you can continue to move forward and change lives as yours has been changed.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Joe.
All right. You have a great evening.
You too, buddy. Bye-bye.
Good night. All right, folks, that we have just a few minutes left, and I wanted to save a few minutes here at the end just to say a few things. I want to thank each and everybody for joining us tonight, not only on this show, but on our daily shows, folks. Don't forget we have the Doug Hagmann Show, 9 to 10, Monday through Friday, and the Hagmann Daily Show, 2 to 3 p.m. And it's also on Global Star Radio, Channel 3, and Blog Talk Radio. Now, you can get the archives. They go up, you know, just about right after the show is over on a number of different podcast outlets. What I like to do is to, I use iTunes, whether on my phone or my computer, and I can download them as soon as they're done, right there on iTunes. And, also you can, go on Blog Talk Radio. And if you go to HagmannReport.com and you look at the top there, there is, listen options, not only for the two daily shows, but also for this show, the Hagmann Report. And I'm trying to pull it up here right now in the few moments we have left. But I believe it's under, there's a few places where you can listen on the website, and it is under, let's see, listen. I think that makes the most sense, under listen. And I think there's another tab that says two new shows. And folks, if you pull up the listen link, I don't know why my computer's taking so long. There we go. If you pull up the listen link, all right, you can see that you have the Doug Hagmann Show, the Hagmann Daily Show, as well as the Hagmann Report, and you can listen to it right from that page as well. And we ask for feedback at studio at Hagmann and Hagmann. And I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Tech Eric for, you know, putting in the hard work and setting this up. And again, folks, don't forget to check the website Hagmann Report for great content. We got a lot of people who are writing content for our site. Peter Chowka being one, Ted Brewer, Stephen Menking, and many others. And we populate it with the most important stories and news that is pertinent for, you know, the daily information. So make sure you bookmark HagmannReport.com. You check out the new shows. And if you like the new shows, or if you don't like the new shows, send us an email at studio@HagmannandHagmann.com. We want to hear from you and what you think. Well, it has been a fantastic week here in the Hagmann Studios. When we come back on Monday, John, who was with us in the first hour, the producer, he's going to be in Erie. And I said this earlier, I'll say it again, I don't know if he knows what he's getting himself into, but we look forward to being able to have him in studio, and John and I will be able to do the show, our show, from the same room instead of from the other side of the country. Well, thank you all who have tuned in to listen. Thank you for your support, spreading the word about the show. Thank you to Todd from Global Star Radio Network. We will be back on Monday. Until then, stay safe. Have a great night.